Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
It's in the morning, it's a new day, because you live and breathe in me. It's a new dawning, brand new mercy, yesterday's gone, so glad I can say. Sing it with me,
it's in the morning, it's a new day,
because you live,
because you live and breathe in me.
Breathe in me.
It's a new dawning,
new dawning,
brand new mercy, yesterday's gone.
Hello, 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 and thank you for joining me for another episode of Modern Living with Dr. Angela. I'm your host, Dr. Angela Chester. Today we are talking with Jason Atkinson. He is the author of Seven Threads. In this collection of seven short stories, we are following a man accused of murder, a runaway girl on a train, a scientist at the heart of a government conspiracy, and so much more. This book is full of twists and turns, and the name of it is Seven Threads. It offers a selection of fast-paced stories full of heart and excitement. If you are listening to this on one of our enhanced versions, you know that you have two options. You can click on the ISBN number there, and it will take you to the purchase page as well as on Jason's name itself, and it will also take you to his website. I like to make it easy for everyone, and as a fellow author, I love to support authors that have a great story. So without further ado, let's bring Jason on. Hello, Jason. How are you? Thank you so much for joining me today.
I appreciate it. I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thanks. Well, before we talk about your book, because I definitely want to get into Seven Threads, because it sounds really thrilling, I want to ask kind of some general questions, if you will. I know that many aspiring authors like to have, you know, a little bit more of a personal story to help connect and make sure that we understand and remember the struggles of what it was like when we were writing our first book. So I want to ask you this, right? You know, because you have this idea, and between idea and typing the first word, sometimes it's a little bit of time there that passes. Do you find that writing energizes you, or does it exhaust you? Or are you somewhere in between?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think it depends on the day. but for the most part, I definitely get energy out of it, just because I like to tap into the creative side as much as I can. And when that happens, as soon as I start typing, it's, you know, the stories just kind of come. And I'm not one of these people that will sit there and go, okay, I have to have every detail figured out, because to me, that's boring. You know, I just want to dive in and let the story take me somewhere. And then when I'm done, then I can really sit back and say, okay, is this a good story? And then tweak it from there. So.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. And when I'm talking to my clients and I'm explaining journaling to them and just the freedom of being able to journal, you know, I tell them, let's do freestyle. Don't worry about the punctuation. Don't worry about if you dotted your I's or crossed your T's. Just get the thought out of your head and onto paper. You can always go back in revision number next and fix all of those things. But don't stifle your creativity or what you're trying to express because you're worried about where does the comma go. So I can definitely
exactly.
Understand that.
5% writing, 95% edit. That's what it is.
Right. Right. Just enjoy yourself and get the story out. Because I like how you said it's nice to see where you go with it. You know?
Yeah.
And being able to just expand the character and expand the idea that you have in your head and enjoy the book as you write it yourself.
Yeah, I don't want this to be a labor. I just want to, as I write it, I get to enjoy it first. And then, you know, once it's done and over, I get excited because I'm like, hey, you got to read this. I read it.
Right.
You know, I don't say I wrote this. I read this. You should read it. You know, and it's fun. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to take that perspective. I like that. Hey, I read this. I'm the first person to read this as opposed to all about the writing of it. But I read this and I like it. Love it. Love it. Now, are you one of those people that have experienced writer's block?
Oh, God.
Or aversion thereof?
Yeah, something. Yeah, whatever you want to call it, right? Absolutely. You know, this is my third book. And depending on what kind of book you're writing, or if it's short story, if it's novels, if it's, you know, anything science related, you know, whatever, it doesn't really matter. There's always those moments where you're like, what do I do next? What do I do now? You know, I finished this little bit. Where do I go from here? And sometimes the creativity is not there. So yeah, I've definitely had those moments. You know, I definitely went through that when I finished writing this book, because I'm currently just starting another one. But I definitely took a few weeks there where I went, how do I want to do this? What do I want to do? Because I don't want to do the same thing twice, you know?
Right.
So I definitely had to push myself to figure out, and part of that was just realizing you got to let go. And sometimes letting go allows your mind to just open up. And then when you're not even thinking about it, an idea will hit you, and then you get all excited. And that's when the creativity starts to come back in. And that's exactly what happened with me, as now I start to prepare my fourth. So.
Yeah. I like how you say you have to just kind of step back a little bit, because we were able to notice it, especially in music sometimes. It's like, wow, those three songs all have the same kind of vibe, the same kind of feel, where it's even almost the same melody is in there. It's like, okay, you were kind of stuck. You're stuck in that area, you know? But when you can step back and, like you said, just kind of refresh everything and let a new idea come forth, then it's you get a different feeling and the book does become fresh and new. I love that. Now, would you say that there's a such thing as literary success, that as an author, there's a look to being successful? And if so, what does that look like for you?
You know, I like this question a lot, because I feel like there's this preconceived notion of what success has to look like. You take someone like James Patterson, you know, in the high teens, if not more, of number one novels on the market, you know, the guy's obviously successful because of that fact. But I'm also successful because I got something published, or I wrote something down, or I got an idea that turned into a story or a novel or whatever. So, you know, you have to fill in your own blank there. Success takes many forms. Success doesn't have a dollar sign attached to it, which a lot of people, I think, feel that way. It can. I'm not saying it can. Absolutely.
Right.
But for me, success is just being able to say, hey, I did it, you know. My first book, which is called A Life of Heart, has nothing to do with fiction. It's all about self-improvement and helping others along the way. And I had been wanting to write it for a while. And I, you know, I just had this fear of, well, what if I don't make it? What if it doesn't work? And, but I did it anyway. So regardless of what happens with that book, that is a success, because I did it. And that's, I think, a big battle for a lot of people.
I think you hit the nail on the head. They're looking for a certain dollar amount, or they're looking for a reality TV version of what success looks like, you know. And I like to remind people, it's like, hey, it's called reality TV, but there kind of is a little bit of some writing going on there. You know, there's a goal.
Oh yeah.
So
oh,
yeah. It's not as freestyle as we think it actually is. And there's nothing wrong with that, because it is a TV show, but our lives are so much more than that, and that we really shouldn't compare ourselves to something that has a script, as a, you know, when we're out here living real day-to-day lives. I love your perspective. I wanted to do it. I wrote it. I did it. I am therefore successful at that. I love that perspective. Well, listeners, don't go anywhere. We need to take a very short break, but when we get back, we will continue to speak with Jason Atkinson. He is the author of Seven Threads, and we want to know more about this fast-paced story filled with heart and excitement. We'll be back right after this. And we are back. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Modern Living with Dr. Angela. I'm your host, Dr. Angela Chester. Today, we are speaking with Jason Atkinson. He is the author of Seven Threads. It is a collection of seven short stories that follow a man accused of murder, a runaway girl on a train, a scientist at the heart of a government conspiracy, and many more stories. So with that being said, Jason, it sounds like a very intriguing book. And I know I don't want you to give away any spoilers, but I do want to pick your brain about the book as much as I possibly can. So what was the inspiration behind writing Seven Threads?
Yeah, okay. So this is a fun story for me because I get to tell this one the most often, and it's because it's the most fun. So this whole ordeal, I mean, I'm talking start to finish, the first story to the last story, all started from a quote that I heard in a movie. I couldn't tell you what movie it was. I just heard a quote. I was like, yeah, I got to share that. So I went online to share it. And what ended up happening was this one quote turned into the first part of the very first story in the book, The Gentleman. That's the first story. And without realizing it, a lot of people had seen this and they said, oh, that's really cool. Where's the rest? And mm-hmm. I went, what do you mean? You know, there wasn't supposed to be any more. And they said, no, you got to keep writing. And I was like, okay. So I kind of took this and I laid it out and I started to think, okay, how do I do this? How do I turn this little portion, which was about 1,000 words at that time, into mm-hmm. something bigger that I could continuously post. So, and for those listening that do like to write, how I approach this, how I set up this process was to basically say, okay, this is 1,000 words. And I did some research. I realized a short story was about 7,500 words, or at least up to 7,500 words. And I went, mm-hmm. all right, so I have 1/7 here. I have a part. So I challenged myself each day, even though it was rough draft, there's mistakes, of course, but that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I wrote another part. I wrote another about 1,000 words at a time. And I mm-hmm. ended up doing 7 parts, which turned into this full story called The Gentleman. And people are like, wow, that story was really great. What's the next one about? And I kind of sat back in my seat and I went, hold on. I just exhausted all my efforts, you know, with the first story. What do you mean? What's the next one about? So mm-hmm. that's kind of how it all got started. And it became this fun challenge because not only did it keep me on schedule of writing something each day, mm-hmm. but it also allowed me the freedom to be creative within a small sphere. I didn't have to think big picture of what does the whole story need to look like. Mm-hmm. I just had to go, okay, what does this episode look like? If you think of it like that, like you're watching a series on Netflix or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. you don't see the whole thing once you watch each episode. So this each story mm-hmm. part is like an episode for me.
I love that. I love the approach of let's just do the 1,000 words. Let's just take care of that little bit. You know, these bite-sized pieces until you have the completed project. I think that's why so many people don't write is because they feel so overwhelmed. I have to write, you know, 7,500 words. My goodness, that's I don't want to be getting cold anymore.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, I'm doing the same process with my next book. It's the same thing. You know, I'm just doing small chunks at a time because each chunk adds up. And before you know it, you know, you've got half a novel already written. And it's, you know, it's crazy.
And, you know, I like the idea of the episodes, how you said, you know, that's true. We are glued to our favorite programming, whatever day, whatever time, for that half an hour or that hour. We don't want to miss it. And even though we think we know what's going to happen, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. We still sit each and every week and watch the potential of what's going to happen. And I like that idea of, ooh, turn the page and let's see, does it happen the way I think, or is there a little bit of a twist in there? I love it. Now, like you said, there are the different parts and you have the gentleman. Some of the chapters or the titles that I liked was Life is a Rummage Sale. Love it. Mm. The Coffee Shop, I am an avid coffee drinker, and The Darker Days of Summer, just because that sounds very inviting. Is each chapter about the same people, or do we get to kind of glimpse this life story from seven different perspectives?
So, good question. So each story is unique, absolutely unique. There is no ties from one story to the next. And I did that on purpose because I wanted to provide a variety of different story types. For example, you know, the gentleman, that's the guy that gets accused of murder. Whereas you've got the Runaway Tracks, which is about a girl that's running away from home and using the train to do it. So, you know, there are no ties to each story, but each story within itself has this really unique progression. And each story does have a theme that is combining them, if you can think of it that way. And it's a good-hearted human nature aspect to it. So even though each story is unique, you can still feel the same type of vibe throughout each story.
Now, did you find that any particular chapter or episode was easier to write than another?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it kind of depends. Like, okay, so the last story in this book is called A Miracle in Aisle 4, and I wrote this. It's a Christmas themed story because, you know, I got a lot of pressure from everyone reading online saying, "Where's the Christmas stuff? Where's the Christmas stuff?" And I immediately told them, you know, I don't want to do a Christmas one because there's nothing else in here that's Christmas related. But they're like, no, you have to, you have to. So I did it. I caved to peer pressure. and I actually, it was hard to write, you know. Overall, there were a few episodes, you know, a few parts in there that came a little bit easier just because I could see where the story was going. Kind of like what you're talking about when you're watching your favorite show. You can kind of, you have an idea of what's going to happen here. Based upon like the first 5-10 minutes or whatever. And I had a few of those moments with this, but in general, this was a harder one to write because I don't usually write about Christmassy type things, but, you know, some of the people that had reviewed it and critiqued it said, this is one of the better pieces. And I just kind of scratched my head and went, okay, great. I'll believe you. So, you know, it's really hard to say. You know, you can put so much effort into something or feel like you have and sometimes feel like, man, this just isn't good enough. And that happens with anything we do in life. It doesn't matter what we put effort into. And someone on the receiving end is viewing it as something completely different. And I think that's the beauty of writing. You can have your intentions there. You can set up the scene. You can portray the characters however you like, but someone else that's reading it, they're going to relate in their own way. And I think that's a really cool part about what books can do.
And I love how you can have a really great book several times over and it's the exact same book. So reading it today, this month, this year, you're going to see certain things that's in the book. And then, you know, you kind of, you put the book away, you may even kind of forget about it until it's time to spring clean or you're moving some stuff around and you happen upon your own book again. Oh yeah, this was a great book. And you sit down and you read through it, or you might even thumb through it and you see something as though it's brand new, even though you've read it already, you see it in a different way because you're at a different point, a different station, a different time in your life.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. That depending on where you are and who you are, you know, you're going to relate to different things in different ways, which is why, again, I like that the fact that these stories are all unique.
Yes.
You know, they're all their own entity. They're just combined together with the same theme, because with the other books I've written, you know, good human naturedness, you know, there's a lot of gunk in the world, if that's one way to put it. And it's nice to throw in some positive energy in there, even if it is a story about a guy that's been accused of murder, or about a guy that's down on his luck and he's homeless, you know, a girl that's running away from home. These are all titles and ideas that seem very depressing. But right. when you read the stories, definitely doesn't end that way, and the journey that they go through is so relatable. It just, you know, they're all just something that you can sink your teeth into.
Now, for those that will be purchasing the book in the near future, what is one main thing that you want them to take away from having read the book?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. I think one of the main things that I would like people to understand is that nobody around you is perfect, and nothing you say and do can really reflect you as a whole unless you commit yourself to it. So if you want to be the person that's helping somebody else, like if you're a helper, if that's what you do in life, you gotta really stick yourself out there and actually claim that. You can't just go in there, one foot in, one foot out. You have to really jump in. And some of these stories, that's kind of how I view them. You know, they, like I said, they all have their own inner perspectives. But at the end of the day, like, you know, Mr. Dean Brandt, the lost brother, you know, that's about a guy that loses his brother. But at the end of the day, his family is there. And there's this just really touching moments in the story that kind of melt you a little bit and kind of bring you back down to reality and realize that I can befriend anybody. I can do that. I can be that person, that guy, that girl, to somebody that maybe I wouldn't have normally, you know. It opens your mind to that kind of thing.
I like it. Now we have about 5 minutes or so left in the show, and I want to ask two more questions. One, I want to make sure that people are able to follow you and get a copy of the book. So what are the best ways to get in contact with you, or are you on social media, all of that good stuff?
Yeah, no, great question. They can visit my website, alifeofheart.com. That book is featured on there along with other things. But also that's a great way to get a free story out of the book so that you can kind of sample it first. I give away The Runaway Tracks. That's a very popular one. And that's one way you can get it. You can also get it by texting 7 threads, the number 7 threads, all one word, to 22828. That's another way to get it. You can find me on Facebook. Facebook.com/author Jason Atkinson. That's another way you can connect with me as well. So, and I'm open to all kinds of people that want to chat, you know, have a question, a comment, you know, whatever it is, just, you know, throw it at me.
Got it. Now I hear that you are, or I'm hoping I heard you correctly, that you're writing something new.
Yes.
Did you jump around at that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be a novel size, but I'm using short stories to do it. So I'm not doing the same thing as I've just done. I'm twisting it a little bit. So I'm writing a novel through the eyes of 7 short stories. So each short story will have its own unique characters. But as the book progresses, as you go through some of these short stories, you'll see that characters get intertwined, and it'll, it will all be based around the same town, the same area, the same, you know, thing that's happening. I don't want to give too much away, but you know, it's going to be a really cool read, because the reason I'm writing short stories is because I want to appeal to those that don't like to read that much, but also at the same time to those that do like to read a lot. And that's why I wrote them in parts. You know, maybe you want to you want to read something, but you're intimidated by 600 pages. Yeah, I get that.
Right.
I really do.
Yeah.
Every time I pick up a book and I went, wow, this weighs more than me. You know, I don't want to read it. so yeah, you know, so I wrote short stories, and I wrote them in parts so that people could just take bite size, you know, nuggets of the book, read it, put it down, and come back to it. And, you know, they're not going to lose where they're at in the story because they only read a smaller sample.
Right. That is such a wonderful idea, especially for people like me that travel a lot. I always have a book with me whenever I fly, simply because my flights take so long flying from the West Coast to the East Coast. Sometimes I have a pretty good layover, you know, about an hour or so, if I don't have the direct connect. And it's really nice to be able to even set that as a goal. Great. On this 7.5 hour flight, I'm going to read, you know, this particular section, and then I could take a break and kind of just digest what I just read and then pick it up at the layover or pick it up on my way back. That's a really great idea. Cause I love the, again, the idea of being able to complete something in that time, as opposed to just, I was up in the air. You know, it's like, I read that and it was so good. And I have something to talk about when I land. I try to utilize my time as best I can, as best I can.
Yeah, well Jason, you know, we like check boxes. So being able to check something off the list is a great way to do that when you're
Yes, it really is. And I learned that actually from a seminar that I attended, and I wasn't sure if I should say his name or not, so I won't. When I hesitate, it's and it's like, nope, let's not say anything. I went to a seminar, and one of the things that he mentioned in writing books is that you have to determine, you know, who do you want to be? What is your purpose? Why are you writing what you're writing? What are your goals? All of those things that, you know, business folks always remind you to ask yourself. He says, but you know, there's that person out there that wants to write the book for the person who's taking that flight. And when he said that, I raised my hand and I went, yeah, not that every book needs to be a quick read, because it's not about that either, but just being able to complete something, or like I said, be able to read within that 7 hours and go, gosh, that was really, really great. It really does. Really does help for folks like me that travel. Well, Jason, thank you so much for being here on the show with me. Of course, we are wishing you even more success, not only on this novel, but on the one that you are currently working on. And you'll definitely have to complete as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. The thanks are all mine. It's been great talking to you and just, you know, getting to divulge about my life and about the books that I've written. So, Frank, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Listeners, and as always, thank you for joining me for another episode of Modern Living with Dr. Angela. And may the Lord continue to shine his face upon you, his grace and his mercies follow you as you go. And your light. Let everyone know that you are an awesome being, because you are uniquely and wonderfully made. Until next time, everyone, have a great day. Bye-bye.